The tongue, and that's what I'm going to talk about again today. And have a whole new thing for next week, but I want to finish this up. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 19 in verse 8. And I am thoroughly convinced that if we speak the word of God, we'll have life. And if we speak of the world, the words of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we're going to have death. Now, I firmly believe that. That's what the Word of God says. And I try to teach you practical things that will help you in your Christian life. And this is one of them. The Bible basically says this, that if we speak life, we speak the words of God, the Lord will be present in our life. If we speak the words of the world, the flesh, and the devil will be prevalent in our life. And it's not a matter of us preaching or speaking just anything we want to. It's a matter of us speaking the very things of God. I'd like for you to look in Psalm 19 and verse 8, and it says, "The statutes or the words or the laws of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." That says very simply that the words of God are sweet to the soul. Verse 11, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Now look at this in verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I really believe that lives would be turned around if we just believed that right there. That says, very simply, if we meditate on the Word of God in our heart and speak the Word of God out of our mouth, then we're going to find the acceptance and the blessing of God. And if you want the acceptance and the blessing of God, you have to speak the right words out of your mouth. It really is not complicated. If death and life are in the power of the tongue, that means we can invite the devil in our life or the Lord in our life by what we say. It's really not complicated, so you have to see what you're saying out of your mouth. If your mouth is cuss words, or if your mouth is negative, if your mouth is constantly gossiping and talking about other people, you're constantly speaking death. And the devil's going to have a foothold in your life. It's just that clear. It really is not complicated at all. I would like for you to look in John chapter 6 and verse 63. I'm going to look at a few verses, and then we're going to talk about how this thing works. Because I want you to be successful in life. I want you to be blessed in your life. And you will not be blessed if you do not speak truth out of your mouth. It's just really that simple. Now, John 6 and verse 63. And this says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now, that's pretty clear. But there are some of you that do not believe, it says in the Word of God, "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you, no man can come to me except it were given unto him by the Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, will you go away also?" Now look at this. "And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe that you are and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter spoke the word of God. It sustained him throughout his entire life. It's sustaining him right now because Peter's not dead. Peter is alive. Peter is with the Lord. The word of God accomplished in Peter's life what God wanted him to accomplish. Now I want to show you another scripture. It's Luke 1:26. Luke chapter 1, 26. I'm going to show you how this works and how it worked in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We get a very good example here of how speaking the word of God brings life. Now, let's look in Luke 1 and verse 26. And it was the sixth month, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, there's one thing here that I think is really neat, that God was interested in this girl named Mary. She evidently, obviously here was a virgin. She was a godly woman. And God was interested in her, and so he's going to speak to her really what she is to accomplish in life. Now, I believe God speaks to every one of us is what we're supposed to accomplish in life. He'll do it through an angel. He'll do it through the Word of God. He'll do it through a still, small voice inside of you, the Holy Spirit. But I believe God will show every single person their role in life, as he did Mary. And I'm going to show you what she did so that what God said came to pass in her life, because it would have not come to pass had she not did what I'm going to show you here. The angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She had no idea. I don't believe that she was that pleasing to God. And I don't believe that a lot of us have any idea how pleasing we are to God if we're faithful to him. In whatever place he's put us and whatever time he's put us there. And when she saw she was troubled, and she at his saying, and considered in her mind the manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, you would say, if angels said that to you, that's a mouthful right there. That's a whole lot of information. But it's not true in her life yet. She's got the information. It's not true yet. There's something she has to do. God's doing his part. He's given her the information. Then Mary said unto her, the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let's say that together. "For with God shall be impossible." That is correct. There's nothing impossible with God. He's going to do his part. We have to do our part. I'm going to show you what that is. It's really very simple. Mary said unto him, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I am yours. Do with me what you want." That was unusual in a young girl. I can do that. My life's going down the road here. But it's easy for me to say, "Lord, do anything you want to do in my life. For the rest of my life, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 years or 20 years. It's easy for me, but for a young girl, it's very interesting. She said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, the part Mary had to do was to speak out of her mouth and agree with what God said. That was her part. God had already planned it all out. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to use her to do it. She received the word of God, and then when she received it, she spoke it in this way. She said, "Do unto me according to your word." And the angel left. Now, what's the next thing she did? Number one, she got the word of God. She certainly was meditating on it, I'm sure. And I think there was probably more to this conversation that's written down here. But besides that, we got the main part of it that we need. So she not only took in the word of God that he said, but then she said, "I want that for my life," and then she spoke it out of her mouth. Are you listening to me? She had to speak it. She opened the door to the Lord for what he wanted. She spoke the words of the Lord out of her mouth. Now, that's why we recite the word of God. That's why I tell you, when you read the word of God in your own home or wherever you read it out loud. Because when it comes out of your mouth, it is planted into your heart. Because it comes out of your mouth, your ears hear it, and it goes into your heart. That's how it works. It's planted as a seed. It's not planted until you speak it. God spoke and the world was created. He planted his words and they grew into what you see. Now we do the same thing. So what comes out of your mouth is as a seed that goes into your heart and will produce what you say. Now if I recorded your conversation in a day's time, what would you be planting? You see, because our words are planting seeds constantly in what we say. And that's why the Bible says, be careful with your idle words, because they are seeds. In other words, as I said last time, some of us would be better off not even opening our mouth at times. Because we are planting those things in our life. And then when something happens we don't like, we say, "I wonder how that happened." And we planted the seeds maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 5 days ago. And this thing came to pass, and we say, "Why is my life always messed up?" Because your words are messed up. You see. And God's constantly, he gave us his word so that we would speak it. So when you read the word of God, if at all possible, if you're not in a public place, read it out loud, because your ears hear the word of God. You can meditate on it, you can contemplate it, but until you speak it, it's not going to happen in your life. Now, we'll just take an example. Say that you were going to build a new house, and so you're following the process, and you're seeing the foundation dug and the basement put in and then the framing done and then the walls go up and all that stuff, and you have a roof on it. And you guess what you're doing? Do you keep that to yourself? Or everybody you see, we're building a house. And they say, "Where is it?" "It's right out there, a certain address." "Why don't you go out and see it?" "We're building a house. We got the basement in. The next thing, they're going to frame it up. We're building a house." All the time that house is being built, you're talking about it, it's coming out of your mouth, "We're building a new house. We're building a new house. We're building a new house." Guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a new house. Isn't that right? It might be a new car or anything else. You're speaking, "We're buying a new car. We're buying a new car. New car. We're buying a new car." We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds. Or, "Oh, I'm just miserable. I'm just seeming like I've been sick all year long. I'll probably be sick the rest of the year, and I'll probably be sick next year." You know, you're planting seeds in your life. Planting seeds in your life. You know, I just never amount to anything. My dad said I was no good and said I'd never amount to anything. And I just agree with him. I'll never amount to anything. I'll just have to put up with this little meager existence that I'm in. And guess what'll happen? You're going to have a meager existence that you're in. That is a law of God. It is in the Word of God that what you say, if you're angry all the time and giving everybody the business all the time, that anger is going to open the door to a spirit of anger that will get worse and worse and worse and worse in your life. It really is exactly what God says in His Word. That's why some people need to be in church every time the doors open. They need to hear the Word of God, and then they need to start speaking the Word of God. If you want your life changed, I can tell you how to change it. It really is not a problem. I can tell you exactly how to change your life. If you don't like what's going on in your life now, I can tell you how to change it. You start praying and you start talking to God. And if you don't know the Lord, you receive the Lord as your Savior. That's number one. That's a priority. And you know what? It's so interesting. Even getting saved, you get saved by the Word of God that you speak. You know, it's amazing. We use that for salvation, and then we just do our own thing the rest of our life. Isn't that something? We get away from the principle of God, because when you got saved, you heard the Word of God. Jesus Christ died for you, took your place, paid for your sin, and did all of those things. And you hear that information, and then you hear somebody tell you that you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the Word of God says in Romans 10:10, it says, if you will confess with your
mouth,
if you confess with your
mouth
the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and I'm going to add for you, you will be saved. I don't think anybody that can speak gets saved unless they speak that out of their mouth. And that's why we tell people when they get saved, please go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Go tell the person you're closest to. Go tell your mate. Have it come out of your mouth. Have it keep coming out of your mouth. You know, my conversation changed when I got saved. Not immediately everything, but my conversation changed because I wanted to tell people about Jesus. And the more I told people about Jesus, the more seeds were being planted, the more God could do in my life. And it's just a continuous thing. As you speak the right seeds out of your mouth and the right words out of your mouth, good things will begin to happen. It is not a problem to change your life. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Radiation treatments I've been going through have been tough. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference how I feel. Doesn't make any difference how I feel. I can just go around and say, oh my God, I feel terrible. These things are killing me. Guess what? I opened the door to the devil to kill me. It says the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have to open the door. He can't do anything he wants to. Anything bad that happens to you, you open the door someplace. And we open the door by our mouth. I'm telling you how to live, you see. And that's why some Christians, you know, they get saved and that's all they do, and they don't get in the Word and they don't get in anything else. So they don't progress, and they're going to stand before Jesus and say, depart from me, I never knew you. I didn't say they're going to hell. You're going to get it. If you're a Christian, you're going to get it now, or you're going to have to get it later and miss a lot of stuff. I'm going to talk about that tonight. There's going to be a lot of Christians in outer darkness, and that's not hell. Jesus said there's going to be a bunch of people who want to knock on the wedding door and the door's going to be closed and they're not coming in. This idea about all Christians, just because they get saved, are going to be married to God and they're going to be in the wedding ceremony and they're going to be all that stuff. That is not true if you study the Word of God. It's not true. He said some are going to be in outer darkness out there in the university out in the darkness. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to heaven, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be involved in all this stuff. And you can lose rewards. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose rewards. It's very clear in the Scriptures. Are we responsible to live a good Christian life down here? Yes, we are. And if we don't do it, we're going to learn to do it there, but you're going to miss a lot of stuff because you can never reclaim what you miss. So I hope that stirs you up a little bit. Because I don't want anybody to go up there and Jesus say, I never knew you. Get over there in the darkness and learn what you're supposed to learn down there on the earth while you were breathing and walking. I don't know about you, I've had enough of school and I don't want to go through it again. So you keep speaking God's word until you believe it in your heart, and then you keep speaking, you keep speaking, you keep speaking it. By the stripes of Christ, I'm healed. I might be in a hospital bed laying there. Well, doctors say you're going to die, but I'm saying, by the stripes of Christ, I'm healed. I'm stripes of Christ, I'm healed, and if I die the next day, I'm really healed. Hallelujah. You see. And some we, I don't know where we get some of the ideas we get. We don't read the Bible. We don't learn it. That's what the issue is. Now, you got to renew your mind in the Word of God. You still got to start thinking like God, and then you have to say it. How would it be to go into a restaurant, you get the menu, and you're sitting down there and you look at the menu. Boy, this is a beautiful menu. It's just lovely. And the waitress comes and you don't say anything. All you're saying, this is a beautiful menu. This is just wonderful. She stands there for a while, and finally she leaves. I'll come back later, she says. Guess what you're going to get if you don't order anything with your mouth? What are you going to get?
Nothing.
That's it. All right. The thing the Bible tells us is we get what we order. We get in life what we order, you see. And don't expect something. If you order steak, you're not going to get ribs. You understand what I say? If you order things of the devil, you're not going to get the things of God. In this life, I'm talking about. Now, so the way you do it, You meditate on your mind, you get the idea in your mind, exactly what God did. He had the idea in the mind that he was going to bring you on the earth. And so he spoke it and you were born. People don't have control over when somebody's born. God does. He speaks when you were to be born, and you were born. Period. And God is the one that opens the womb and closes the womb. It says so very clearly in the Bible. And that's not our job. That's not our part. Our job is to put the seed, plant the seed, plant the seed, plant the seed, plant the seed. God opens the times in your life when it starts to grow, you see. There's timing for everything. I agree with that. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. There's a time to do these things. Now, what you plant may happen instantly or it may happen 5 years from now, but it doesn't make any difference. You keep planting it. Now, you just don't plant anything you want to, but it's very simple. If you plant tomato seeds, you're going to get what? How about oranges? If you plant tomato seeds, you're going to get oranges? No. You get exactly what you plant in your life. Now, the thing is to find out what God is saying so that you're going to plant the right things. We're speaking the Word of God. We're just not speaking something out of the air. Paul said we're not just beating the air. Now, you don't start saying, I'm going to build a house, and the house is already built. You're planting seeds for the future. You're planting seeds for the future. You're planting seeds for tomorrow. You're planting seeds for the next day. You see, the minute you start building a house, it isn't done. It takes a while. There's a growing season. It has to be watered. It has to be nurtured. You have to keep saying it. Somebody says, well, I'm lying if I say I'm healed, if I'm sick. Not if Jesus said so, and he says so, by the stripes of Christ I'm healed. We're to speak the word of not God, not the word of the devil, not the word of the sickness. You speak the word of God, which says, by his stripes I'm healed. Now, you do everything you can. You can go to the doctor. You can do all this stuff. You eat the right things. You take care of your life. You get proper rest. But by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, you see. And that's what you do. God told, I've mentioned this guy named Charles Capps. He always has all these stories. And he had this thing about he was supposed to buy this farm, and he didn't have any money. He would have to borrow the down payment. But he didn't feel like it was timing yet. So for 1 year, God says, I'm to have this farm. The people wanted to sell it. He wasn't taking something from somebody that didn't want to sell it. They had it for sale, and God told him he was supposed to buy this farm. So he started speaking, that farm is mine. That farm is mine in Jesus' name. That farm is mine in Jesus' name. A year later, he got the down payment. He borrowed the down payment, bought the farm, did what he was supposed to do. The farm's paid for now. It's his farm. But he started it by planting the words, by planting the seeds, by planting what God told him to do in his life. We're speaking words of the future. You don't speak seeds for the past. That's already done. You can't plant anything in the past. It's over. Good, bad, or whatever. You got to start planting now good things of the Lord instead of the enemy. Because God, why did God leave the devil around? Just because he wanted you to have a choice. He wanted you to have a choice. You can choose the things of the devil, or you can choose the things of God. And then when you get the results, don't blame God if you chose the wrong thing. But you can certainly fall on your face before God and repent and start over. Anybody can do that. You can do it right now. You haven't got any excuse. Don't blame everybody else. I don't care what they said or did back there. It doesn't make any difference. You confess your sin. You repent. You get right with God. You receive Christ. Start speaking life and the word of God, and you'll see your life change. There isn't anybody that can't change their life. Now, get back to what Mary was doing. Got a little off there. She did something else that was very interesting. God planted a little seed in her. He said, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant 6 months. Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth was past childbearing age. No way Elizabeth was going to have a baby. And God said, Elizabeth is pregnant. She put that. It was her cousin. And so where does she go? Where do you go if you want to change your life? You go to where people are positive to God. You go to where people have received something from God. You go to people where there's been a miracle of God. And so she goes running to Elizabeth. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you what she does. She's not done yet. Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste in the city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, greeted Elizabeth, and it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice, and blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You need to be around people that are positive. You need to be around people that love Jesus. You need to be around people that's going to build you up in the Lord, you see. You go in their house, they got preaching on or Christian music on, and they build you up in the Lord. Why do you want to go to the devil's house? you see. Make your house a house of God. I've talked about this before. But you don't want to be around people that are negative all the time and talking about somebody else all the time and gossiping about it all the time and complaining about everything all the time, because anybody can find something to complain about anywhere you go. It's not a problem. It's built in us. We were born with that kind of nonsense, you see. So you're going to be positive, you're going to be negative. Overlook the negative junk and get into the positive of God. That's the issue. Don't dwell on the past. That's demonic. If you get up in the morning and think some horrible thing that happened to you in the past, that came right from the devil. And then if you start speaking it, he can just make you miserable for as long as you want to be. Isn't that right? Absolutely. Now, you see, these things are just very simple. Now, if you start speaking the life of God, there's an aura of the Spirit of God that'll come around you. You see, there's an aura of light or there's an aura of darkness. And if you start speaking the devil, there's an aura of darkness. You start speaking the things of God, there's an aura of light around you. Darkness is always an example of the devil, and light is the example of God. And when you start complaining and negative and self-righteous and pride and all this stuff, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Hallelujah. I'm going down the tube, but nobody's going to tell me what to do. Guess what you're speaking? That's right. You're going to have a black aura around you that's not going to be good. Old Charles Capp said one time, he said he loved to fish. And whenever a guy picked up his fishing pole, he said, "I always catch fish." Are you listening to me? He could have picked a thing up. "Well, last time I went, I didn't catch anything. And the time before that, I catch on a little thing here. I don't even know why I go, but I think I'll go fishing today." Guess what the results are going to be of that thing? So one day he picked up his fishing pole and he called up a friend and said, "You want to go fishing with me?" He said, "Sure." But the friend said right on the phone before they ever got started, he says, "Oh, I go fishing, but I never catch anything." So they went anyway, and Charles picked up his pole and he said, "I always catch fish. I always catch fish." He picked up his friend and he said to his friend, "I always catch fish." His friend said, "I never catch anything. I don't even know why I go. But I'll go with you." So they went out to this fairly large pond, and one got on one side and one got on the other side, and they're fishing away, and Charles just catching fish. I mean, he's catching fish. His friend over there is catching nothing. He says, "I guess I called it right. I never catch anything." He kept hollering across the lake, "I'm just not catching anything." Well, he says, "Why don't we change sides?" So he goes over where Charles has been catching all these fish. Charles goes over where he was. Guess what happened? Charles catching fish over here. He's catching nothing. "I never catch anything. I knew it was going to happen. I knew this wouldn't make any difference." Charles over there catching fish. Charles said, "I can tell you how to start catching fish." He said, "How?" "Start saying that I'm going to catch fish." It sounds stupid to a lot of people. So finally he started doing, and guess what happened? He started catching fish. Now how are you going to live your life? "I just can't do anything. I'm never making money. I haven't hardly got money to pay my bills, and never have had money to pay my bills. And I don't know if I'm going to get my rent paid, and I don't know where the money's going to come from, and I can't keep a job, and I can't..." Guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to end up out on the street. You're going to end up the rescue mission. I had this girl one time that did that all the time. And she called me up and she wanted me to help her. And I said, "I'll help you. Why don't you go down to the rescue mission?" She said, "Go down to the rescue mission?" Like that was beneath her something. And she had nothing. She wasn't going to have anything. She might have just gone down there, because she's speaking that kind of a life into her being. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm preaching to myself today. So, you know, don't get mad at me. So it's a matter of what comes out of your mouth. You know, Jesus said something interesting one day. He was out there and he was on the shore, and Peter and his fishermen went out in the lake, and they'd been fishing all night. A lot of times you'd catch fish at night. They'd been fishing all night, didn't catch a thing. So Jesus hollers out to him. He's on the shore, and he said, "Put the net on the other side of the boat." Now, that made no sense whatsoever. What difference does a few feet on one side of the boat make? And Peter looked at him and thought, I know what he was thinking. He said, "This guy's crazy." But he said, "According to your word, I will do it." So basically, he spoke the word of God. He put it over the boat. They couldn't get enough. They couldn't get all those fish in the boat. And Jesus was teaching them something. It's what comes out of your mouth. If you speak the word of God, you will have the life of God. It is really the way it is. Now, so the law of faith says you're going to have what you say. And I'll hurry up here. All right. Abraham's another example in the Bible. God went to Abraham and he said, you're going to have a son. What's your name? He said, Abram. That means exalted father. He told Abram. Now, Abram at this point was 75 years old. His wife was past childbearing age. This looked like an impossible thing. And he said to Abraham, you're going to have a son. For 24 years, Abraham didn't say anything. 24 years later, God comes back to him. He said, you're going to have a son, and I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Now, that sounds kind of silly. Abraham means the father of many nations. But at that point, every time Abraham said his name, he was saying what God had said, that he was going to be the father of many nations. And guess what? It wasn't even a year later he had a son. Because he started speaking what God said. 24 years he didn't speak the word of God. 25th year he does, and he has exactly what he said. He had a son. Now, I'm telling you how this thing works. I didn't say to work in 5 minutes. I didn't say to work in 2 days. It may take a while. I have no idea. But you have to get the word of God into your mouth and start planting that seed. And, you know, I'll tell you what a lot of Christians are like. They're like a farmer that buys all this seed. He's going to plant corn. And so he buys all this seed and he stores that seed in the barn, and he decides he wants to have corn, so he's just going to go in and pray over the seed. He's going to say, oh, I pray corn coming up out of this seed. He hadn't even planted it. It's still in the bag. But he's going to pray for corn. That's like a lot of people are. You have to plant the seed. And you do that by what comes out of your mouth. Oh, I just can't get that job. I've wanted that job for years, but I just can't get that job. Nobody's going to give me that job. That's what I've always wanted to do. How about God wants me to have that job? Hallelujah, and I'm going to get that job in the name of Jesus. And you go to school and you prepare for it and you keep talking about it, and guess what happens? You get the job. It's just that way. You confess the word of God. You have to plant it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Almost finished. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. You know, I don't think I've ever been more excited about preaching the Word of God. It's fun when you're preaching what God wants you to. You know, I'm planting seeds. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It says we haven't even begun to think all the good things that God wants to do in our life right now. We don't even compute what it is. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. Look at this. Which things we also what?
Speak.
Which things we also
speak.
Not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There it is again. It just constantly. Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. Speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. Speak the Word of God. Confess the Word of God over and over. That's how God brings supernatural things into people's lives. Keep planting the Word of God. Keep planting the Word of God. Keep planting the Word of God. You don't have to deny you're not feeling great or you deny some of these things, but the point is, spend most of your time confessing what God says. You see, by His stripes I'm healed. God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. You're not sitting there doing nothing. You're doing everything you can. But God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. It's just like what I said last time. You can be smoking up a storm and saying, you know, God's taking this away from me. God's taking this away from me. God's taking this away from me. You could be smoking away 3-4 packs a day. God's taking this away from me. I'm healed of smoking. God's taken away from me, and one day, guess what happens? You don't care about it. You set it down, it's over. You set it down, it's over. That could be drinking, that could be anything else, that could be drugs, that could be anything you're doing. God's delivering me from these drugs, and you might be sniffing up a storm. But God's delivering me from these drugs. God's delivering me from these drugs. God's delivering me from these drugs. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you, God wants to deliver you from those drugs, you see. You put Scripture all over your heart. You put Scripture in your home. You put Scripture in your life. You say, God, I'm surrendering to You. I want to be an overcomer the rest of my life. And guess what happened? You think God's going to deny that prayer? I don't think so. It's often what, a lot of times it's often what's not said that causes you to miss God. Let me say it again. It's often what you don't say that causes you to miss God. You see, it has to be spoken. It has to be spoken. God showed us from the very beginning what it was. Now, it's the Word of God in your mouth. The devil can put thoughts in your mind, but don't speak them, and they won't come to pass. Even the devil can't make things come to pass in your life unless you speak it. His words. Because he can put thoughts in your mind. You don't have to speak them. You know? Is the Word of God in your mouth? That's the question. Is the Word of God in your mouth? If it's not, it's not God's fault that things aren't going the way you want it to go. The Word of God has to be in your mouth. How you change your mate, Word of God has to be in your mouth. How you change your children, Word of God has to be in your mouth. Nothing's impossible with God. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. You see, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. You see, as long as you're speaking it, as long as you're speaking it, as long as you're speaking it. You don't like your boss, speak the Word of God over your boss. Pray for your boss. Make a difference. You don't like somebody in your family, speak the Word of God over them. Say, God, give me a love for this person. Start speaking life. You see, it's the Word that'll grow your life in the Lord. Let's stand before Him.